Welcome to the talk show worth talking about, Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio, with your co-hosts Kevin Hogan, founder of the Healing Stigma Program, and Scott Fullerton, voice of Left of Straight Radio. From A-list entertainers to hometown heroes, join Kevin and Scott as they interview those on the cutting edge of challenging stigma with insight, humor, and always compassion. Give them your ears and they'll open your mind. For positive talk with positive results, you're listening to Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio. Now here are your hosts, Scott and Kevin.
All right. Howdy, howdy, everyone. Welcome to Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio. It is Thursday, June 23rd. I am your co-host, Scott Fullerton, along as always with my co-host, Kevin Hogan. Kevin, how you doing today?
Oh, fantastic. We made it through, the strawberry moon, and we're now officially in summer. So I hear you got some weather headed your way or going through it, so be safe out there, but looking at a beautiful sunset out here in the East Coast.
Beautiful. Yes, it is officially summer now, and Northeast Ohio is going to get blasted a little bit with some rain and stuff, but it happens every summer, so we'll get through it. So I'm glad you
they can't watch the party.
How's your week going?
I was going to – well, wait a second now. We got to turn this back to you there, Mr. Ohio. Whatever weather, that cannot wash the party out of Cleveland. Congratulations. I don't know if you're a basketball fan, but you're there in Ohio. So congratulations to you and the whole state on this amazing upset win, historical – what is it, ending some kind of more than 50-year drought. I mean, I'm from Boston. I remember when we used to have the Bambino's curse. I thought I had to go to Europe, move to Europe, just to let the Red Sox win a pennant again. But, wow, what's it like?
Well, on behalf of the entire state of Ohio, I thank you. And yes, everybody's excited. Today was actually the big parade. The parade at 11 o'clock this morning through downtown Cleveland on 9th Street, and all the players went up and talked, and it's been all over all the local channels, of course, covering it live. So very exciting stuff here. I think it was something like 52 years or something, 54 years that they haven't won any kind of major sports competition in any sport. So it was pretty exciting. And with LeBron doing it, he's from the area. He was born and raised in Akron area. So he was really a hometown hero. He got a lot of guff when he went down to Florida. So it was really welcome back in open arms. And this is going to wipe anything that remained of the state of Florida out of everyone's mind. So it's a
determination,
it's a good
man.
Week here.
Yeah, really well done. And hey, isn't there some kind of, I don't know, is it a stat or an old wives' tale about East Coast, West Coast basketball teams and the results of political elections or something? Am I misquoting that?
Oh, not at all. I got to tell you, my mom is a huge political junkie, as I am too. But she told me a stat the other day. She was more worried. She's not a basketball fan at all, but she got I don't even know where she got it. She was told that and she's a Hillary fan. She's way Hillary or Democrat, period. I mean, she would have taken Bernie. She would have taken anybody, but she's a Democrat all the way. No Democrat, I guess, has ever won an election year White House when a West Coast team has won. So she didn't even care about Cleveland. She just wanted to make sure that the Cavaliers won. So the Democrats had a chance for the White House this year.
Wow, I get it. That's brilliant. Wow. Well, that's about as close as it came to going the other way. So, I tell you, maybe Mom was looking at a house renovation. She was looking at moving to Canada.
All sorts of trouble.
Well, we got that out of the way. So, good week. Well, I mean, we needed good news after everything and, last week's show and all. But we got hopefully some more good news coming. Aren't the results coming up soon for the Podcast Awards?
Podcast Awards are announced this Saturday. I'm so excited. Thanks for bringing that up. Yeah,
cool.
So honored for the Left of Straight Show to be nominated for Best LGBT Podcast. The voting was a couple weeks ago. They had two straight weeks of voting. And we will find out this Saturday, 8 o'clock, on podcastawards.com. They're doing a live handing out. Of course, the year that I get nominated, they're doing a live streaming event. Last year was at Las Vegas. This year I'm doing the live streaming event. So there's that. But it's just an honor to be nominated, and I'm going to be listening in live at podcastawards.com this Saturday, along with our good friends, K-Town and Kim Stiles from Dialogue. We'll both be listening in, and who knows, one of us just may be the best LGBT podcast in 2016. We'll see what happens.
Look, awards aside, they've got some of the absolute best of the best, and they looked at a whole lot. So, again, and I'm just saying this, congrats already. Congrats to those fine ladies. Congrats to all the other people that are nominated and all the other shows, because it's the work. It's the product. It's getting it out there. And I love, love, love that, you know, such dear friends of mine are in this process, and I'm so looking forward to it. So great job already. Really. And I'm sorry it's not in Vegas. We'll get out there. We'll do it.
I know we got to get.
We'll do a podcast from Vegas.
He's going to be on in just any second here. But talk real quickly. I was perusing the websites, and you have a new outline and a new website for Healing Stigma. Talk about that.
Yeah, it's been a lot of work and needed work in this sense that it was very emotional immediately after coming back from New York and the Lambdas and, you know, the creative side of the poetry that I love so much, and working with my publisher at Antrim House, Rennie McQuilkin. I was already prepared and had already started moving back towards the writing in the nonfiction book, The Healing Stigma, The Survivor's Guide book, and with Dr. Levy. And, you know, that's got me going now full time. We're really going well with it. And what I can say is that the tragedy, as well as the show we did last week, but the shooting in Orlando, I think everybody in their own way kind of, you know, people respond in their own way. And just like our guest today, Dr. Vince Pellegrino, I'm so excited to hear, what he's been doing since that tragedy as well. But for me and the whole Healing Stigma team, we took a good hard look at how we are, say, putting out there what we know we do, but oftentimes in the speed to get things up. The first website, I think, was kind of a catch-all, and now the new website that was just, thank you so much for mentioning it, we just literally launched it, so the Healing Stigma, www.healingstigma.com, has been totally revamped. We're doing the same thing to the social media sites, and naturally this is in order for clients, individuals, groups, those that are stigmatized, those that are trying to interrupt stigma, to be able to do it and understand what it is the Healing Stigma program is all about. Because I do feel by doing that, we reduce the rage, we help communities, we help individuals peel back labels that are oftentimes so enraging to have on, that one's identity, when it becomes fractured, the price that individuals, families, and others pay can be horrendous. So that's my part of not wanting to let Orlando, the tragedy, the memory of these fine people, go by without trying to make the world better.
Well, I hope everyone checks it out soon. It's beautifully looking. It's very easy to navigate through. You have that awesome one-on-one coaching that you do and everything, so I'm so excited about that. Let's get right into it, though, because I believe we have Dr. Pellegrino calling in now. We'll take a quick break and get him ready to go here. We're going to feature today a good friend of the show, Jay Knight, we had on a while back. He is a fantastic singer and has done his part to work with the Stanford Silent Organization to help prevent bullying. So we're going to play a little bit of Jay Knight. This is Into the Sun. You're listening to Healing Stigma on Left to Straight Radio. We'll be back with Dr. Vince Pellegrino in just a couple of moments.
I'm not gonna break and break no mistake.
All right, we're back, and that was our good friend Jay Knight with Into the Sun. Hey, Kevin and I are so excited today. Our first guest has two doctorate degrees in educational theater and drama therapy from New York University. He's a communications professor at Hofstra University, New York, where he also has created a long-running radio show. The radio show eventually led to the book Talk It Out, No More Gay Shame, and this past spring the book has become a documentary that is set to premiere this summer. In wake of the recent Orlando events, this couldn't be a more timely talk for our community, so we're so excited to have him on. Please welcome to the show Dr. Vince Pellegrino. Dr. Vince, how are you?
Hey, Scott, how you doing?
Hey,
good to,
I'm doing
good
fantastic.
To be on your show.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Of course, here's my co-host, Kevin.
Hey, Dr. Vince, this is a real, real honor to have you on, especially at this busy time.
Thank you. I love that.
No, I mean it. I mean it. I'm really excited for this film. I'm such a big fan of what your book has done already. So, yeah, this is a really busy time for you, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're just right now I'm still excited about what this film is going to look like. The trailer, I was so blown away, completely blown
yeah.
away. This young editor, he's an alumnus of Hofstra. He's an associate of my producer, who is a student, also just a graduated senior. And, you know, we had six LGBT students who got organized for this film, who asked the questions of my panel of gay men on various subjects related to growing
right.
up gay, shame, bullying, moments of pride, challenges in life. And gay elitism, which we talk about is a result of shame, you know, how gay men
yeah.
talk to one another or don't talk to one another.
Mm-hmm.
And also plans for the future. What do they hope for in the future? Now, this film was done, documentary was shot in the spring before Orlando. So, but we are dedicating the movie to the Orlando 49 and to the Tyler Clementi Foundation. And those who were affected by Tyler's death, if you remember, he was the Rutgers student who was cyber-shamed by his roommate,
mm-hmm.
and as a result jumped off the
yes.
George Washington Bridge, which
mm-hmm.
I met with his executive director yesterday. There was a gay pride event for the center at the garden party, and he was there, and we talked about that, and talked about the Orlando 49, but, you know, it was just coincidental that when Tyler jumped, it got so much media attention that it created that other young men who were tortured inside and bullied ended up taking their own lives. There were about at least 5 to 8 of them, you know, young men
right.
throughout
Terrible.
The country who killed themselves after Tyler. So the family originally was focused on suicide. Teen suicide as their mission statement to make the people aware, but then they just focused
right.
on cyberbullying and shaming, which is their now platform is to talk
right.
about that. But God was Sean was very upset about Orlando 49. I'm speechless. I was a bouncer at a gay bar in Manhattan for years while I was getting my PhD.
Mm.
I worked
yeah.
at Uncle Charlie's, and we had some real characters come in. But I tell you, that guy would have been – I would have confronted him. I probably wouldn't have been the first one that would have been killed because I would have gone at him. So
yeah.
I would have tried
yeah.
some moves, whether they would have worked or not.
Yeah.
I definitely would have been one of the victims. As the bouncer, they did – the only employee they lost at Pulse was the bouncer, a female bouncer.
Right.
So,
yeah. She was from Massachusetts.
Yeah, I definitely want to go into
she was a math native.
I mean, the book
oh,
is fantastic that led to this documentary. We have an
yeah.
Indiegogo campaign. We have
yeah.
a premiere coming up in July. But let's keep on this topic for a second because I'm glad we have you. Kevin and I was able to do a panel discussion last week with a couple of good friends of ours from Same Sex Dialogue, but I think it deals so much. I wanted to ask you the same question we kind of dealt with last week when you're talking about gay shame and now they're kind of talking about how the shooter may or may not been a self-loathing gay or bisexual. How does that?
Oh well, I can go in on that.
Did you any of your interviews or anything about any self-loathing?
Oh my God. Well, yes. I mean, I dated Middle Eastern men and Israeli, Middle Eastern, very passionate lovers, but tortured, just incredibly tortured inside, in shame galore. You know, I dated, you know, one of my lovers. I gave him flowers, beautiful flowers, because, you know, I was feeling great, you know, a lot of feelings for him. And he took only half the flowers. He couldn't take all the flowers. And he gave them back to me. And his girlfriend found out about it, and is a Israeli woman, and she just let him have it. And he felt so contrite, you know, because, you know, someone had to shame him in order for him to realize that he, you know, hurt my feelings, you know, because I you know, the flowers were out of love. When I've been with Arabic men, again, same thing, very passionate lovers, but there's this torture. And, you know, I am sure as soon as I heard about this and about him being on Grindr and checking out the place and all those clues for me, I knew immediately this guy is racked with shame, and he hated. This was his, like, externalized hate object. You know, like people who have schizophrenia, you know, have different psychological disorders I've worked with over the years, always blame other people for their condition. Oh, you know, usually hate the brother, mother, father, you know, whatever. And there's always some externalized, you know, character that drives them out of their mind, and they stay the victim. This guy clearly was, you know, I heard him on when he was being interviewed by, you know, that girl.
The documentary.
A big baby. He was, like, complaining. He was tearing apart his employers. He was, you know, I mean, he would have been fired on the spot for what he was doing. He's got a lot. Mm-hmm. He had a lot of issues. And this kind of person, he needs to be, to stop someone like him or anyone that is listening to your show and, you know, and it blames the world for their situation. They really, really, really need to talk to someone about their own inner shame, their own issues. Don't focus on others. They are not the one. It is you're the one that is feeling these feelings. Talk about them. That's what this whole thing about, talk it out. No more gay shame. The only way you're going to lessen that hate, that internalized homophobia, is to talk about it. You don't have to go to a therapist. Talk to a friend. Talk to a family member that you know that you can reach out to. Don't hold it inside, and don't be thinking a gun is the answer. So many people, I have a nephew I love, but he is obsessed with guns. He was a Marine, and he is very, he thinks by having a gun and firing a gun, it shows you have real testicles. That's what it says. A real man has a gun.
Right.
Yeah, and he had on his Facebook shooting the gun, saying, oh, I'm so scared. No, I'm not. Ha, ha, ha. You know, and I'm listening to it and going, oh, my God. I have no desire to hold a gun. I have no desire. Mm. I'd rather hold a man, not hold a gun. I make love, not war. I feel like I'm going back to the 60s. You know, give peace a chance. Love your brother. Yes, literally, love your brother.
Hey, Dr. Vince, can I interrupt just for a sec? This is Kev.
No.
So there's two things I want to say. One is, because we have the time to do this, for our listeners, because I'll do this every now and then, I would love to just say this, is for those that might not know this, go back and read the HuffPost piece that Dr. Vince wrote. I think it came out because I'm, you know, Boston Irish. Remember, I'm a bisexual, outed, high stigma profile. You know, I was outed on the evening news to 1.5 million people as the porn star teacher. All right,
wow.
And I'm married to a woman who's also bisexual, and guess what? The evening news didn't know. The undercover news crew didn't know. We knew about everything. We're out to each other, and because I didn't have that self-loathing, I survived what others did not.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm using and doing the healing. But anyway, your piece you wrote, I think it came out on March 17th in the
HuffPost. I'm writing another one
great...
coming up soon.
Okay.
Would someone explain this to me? That's the title of it. Would someone explain this?
I think that other one is a great one because the trailer is great, and I know our listeners sometimes will want to do a little research on that. So that's one thing. But the other thing in all of this that you're talking about that I think is just so interesting and fascinating.
What was the article specifically, Kevin?
It was when you're talking about the – you got permission from Hofstra to make the documentary.
Yes.
And so it's the background story. See, I've seen the trailer. I'm so excited. And like I said, please let us know. We're going to promote the heck out of it. And anytime you want to come back on again, please. Healing Stigma is what I'm all about. And this Healing Stigma Radio, Scott has been such a fantastic co-host on this. And it was his idea. He had me on on Left of Straight once and, you know, saw what I was doing and said, we got to do this. So remember, I'm also – just the other side of this, I just wanted to say is, as a bisexual leader – And I see so much the erasure in the fact that, you know, sometimes people can face it from both sides, from so many different communities. It's just, right now, you were just talking about the 60s. Right now, we literally have a sit-in going on in,
God bless them.
The Democrats.
I'm voting for all of them.
I mean, so you're talking about these things. Yeah, it's amazing. We have, what is it, Representative Lewis from Georgia, who has sit-ins for,
I just want to give him a big hug.
Yeah, and this is going on right now. And so, again, this idea of you can't do anything about it, you can. Your students are doing something about it. They're doing something that's going to have a lasting impression to others.
Yes, they shocked me. When I just presented it to Christian, my lover, my producer, who's straight, you know, and he said, Dr. Vince, let me run with this. He came back to me and goes, Dr. Vince, everybody wants to do it. I said, God.
That's awesome.
Because this is the time that everybody wants to be more politically correct. They're more sensitive to those people that have been persecuted. And that's why the whole world is, I mean, maybe it took the gays to finally, I mean, I thought with the children, which broke my heart. I lived only 10 minutes away from the Sandy Hook. So I was grading papers, and I was listening to the radio. As I heard this shooting, I went, where? Newtown?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You know, like, talk about little hometown. You know, I used to go there. I used to drive by it. You know, I'd stop in the general store. You know, I mean, the post office is there. I get my cable companies there that I, you know. I was like, little, and I couldn't put children? With a what?
I know, yeah.
You know, I mean, I couldn't. I thought after that, you know, guess what, though, guys? Guess what? My own nephew, another nephew, thought the whole thing was a hoax. Planned.
Oh, man.
In order to pass the gun laws. He thought the whole thing
was
fake. And there was a whole contingent of his buddies that thought the same thing. I could not even convince him that he's crazy. So, I mean, I can tell you guys.
Here's one thing that's exciting, I think, and it is one of the things we can take from this. I think it was a Washington Post piece. Now, the separate minority groups, those that feel in some way, obviously I deal with those that have been stigmatized across so many different, you know, from poverty to criminal records to immigration to you can't imagine. I'm still making connections every day that blow my mind as to how quickly stigma can have long-lasting effects on an individual's identity and family and career. But here's the thing that gets me in this. When those minority groups, when these different groups come together, and see, because here's the thing, there's so many parents, and I get it. I'm in agreement with you. I thought Sandy Hook, you could see the frustration every time there's been a shooting since in Obama's face when he can't produce something after it. You just see the anger,
and what
frustration, right? But now, Orlando, in so many ways, has affected a group and other groups, like in the whole Rainbow Coalition, groups that have been marginalized and then have gone about so many different things, both on their own and then joining together, and have been in these pride marches at this point, I think, in a way that says, look, it's a political year. Let's not turn away from it. Let's make it our year, and let's find other ways of building bridges while others are just fanning flames of anger that rip down or build up walls. I mean, it's horrible what happened, but I've heard so many people say, you know what, I can't accept it without doing something about it.
Well, we are. We are.
Yeah.
It's going to be done.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. I mean, this never got done before. Politicians sitting on the floor, you know, as a reference to Mason, they couldn't even get down there. You know, it's so bad.
Yeah, but come on. Four bills knocked down, and that's how strong the NRA is.
I could not believe it. Well, come on. Hey, guys, let's go. Let's go buy an Uzi, and then let's go shoot up a mall. Wouldn't that be fun? You know, let's go get it.
Yeah.
We can go, I can pass a background check. I'd have no problem. Yeah. I'm a school teacher. So I can go buy I'll buy the gun, and we'll go, you know, buy all the ammo and the body armor.
Yeah, but if you're
armor.
By Sandy Hook, right, if you know that area, let's face it, go out on the weekend still, and this is the other not against guns.
Like,
as I've said before, I can clean and strip an M1, and I got, you know, I'm not bragging. I know my way around guns, and I know
my way
around a fishing rod. I don't necessarily have to go out and kill something every weekend to feel testosterone. But what I do know is this. You go out in the woods in some of those areas where you are, and there are so many people armed to the hilt that it's amazing that there's even anything alive. What's funny?
I always say to friends, I think they all watched that movie Red Dawn. Remember with Patrick Swayze and Jennifer Grey where the Russians invaded. I think they're all expecting, like, the Koreans or the Russians or to come in and have a hand-to-hand combat.
But now here's the sad part. Now we see just recently, did you guys hear the story? I didn't even tell Scott about this, but have you guys heard the story about the gun store owner that was arrested driving into the Holland Tunnel with the entire SUV filled to the brim with high-powered weaponry and body armor? Did you hear about this?
I heard about it, but I just don't know what to say about this one. This one's
because
the
hear
woman
why?
Was in there. They were going to save some woman from a drug den.
It's like a bad
movie
script.
I mean,
and it's so it's like, wait a second. We could have made a call here to someone to get this. If it's a child, I heard it was 16. Now again, I feel terrible because this person, who's the gun owner, apparently also lost his own child to an opioid overdose.
Right,
so this is
right.
tragedy upon tragedy. But when it leads to, and I know this from my own work every day with Healing Stigma, when it leads to that immediate feeling that I have to take revenge or I have to take the movie script Hollywood ending and go for it myself, you're going to wind up doing such harm to others. And all I can say is, in some ways, for them and maybe even for the girl who hopefully will, you know, this will be taken care of, what got them pulled over was a traffic violation, a cracked windshield.
Exactly.
And can you imagine being a law enforcement officer having to pull that vehicle over? So there's so many people here in so many ways trying to do their jobs and keep the community safe. Let's not let anger, rage, and overarming ourselves be the answer. It's insane.
I agree with you.
Again, a documentary like yours, brilliant, and I can't wait to see it.
Well,
I
want to see you there. If not, I'm going to come to – you're in Boston, right?
Absolutely. The Irish Riviera.
I'm going to come there and premiere it. I definitely want to premiere it in Boston. And,
excellent.
Once I've got this with me, I have my – in public speaking, you know, you have your supportive material, videos, photos, things that you can show. So what I will do is that I will – you know, like I'm going to do this on the 15th of July at Hofstra. We'll have a wine and cheese reception. You know, and then we're going to have the film and then an open discussion following the film. And that's the way
excellent.
I'm going to play it. And I'm going to play it all over the country and all over the world if I can. Because
that's
I think
brilliant.
Someone has to be a spokesperson, and I'm more than happy to take that on. You know, I've been public speaking for 25 years.
One more thing before we go back into the book, then. I want you to put on your other hat for just a second.
Okay,
let's
here I am.
Get on the other side of this. You are one of the few that went through the doctorate program of drama therapy. Most people go through the master's program. What is something, is there any tools you can share with our audience of how we can now cope with this? We have all this that's happened now. What are your, is there anything that's teachable in a quick,
I
know drama therapy as well, but
what
can we help people cope?
Role play. Role play, talk about your feelings when, you know, if you're grieving this, I mean, talk about the hate. I don't know. It's just like, you know, we do puppets. We work with masks. When I did my dissertation, I had healthcare professionals make masks. They put a paper with a crayon or magic marker. They made masks of what Jung called the public or the shadow self. It's the self we don't show the world. There is the self we show the world, which is the public mask. Hi, smile. You know, you see the commercial? There was a commercial with these people holding up the mask with a little smile on. Well, that's Jungian. That's very Jungian. And it's all about showing the self, but it's not the real self. What is the other self? What is the private self? And I swear to God, guys, these people, well, like healthcare workers, you know, mild-mannered, they made masks that were frightening. One with a fire coming out of one's mouth, a ghost, rage, sadness. All of that was the stuff that they could not show. And then I had them make a mask of plaster Paris, a plaster, you know, with the gauze strips, and they got to form it to their face.
Right.
They worked with partners, and they were able to adorn that and make it into anything they wanted. That was the idealized self, the self that I can look to and say, this is what I want to be. This is what's going to help me to get through this. You know, you could, with drama therapy, there's called, you know, you can, as they say, puppets, masks. You can work with role play, dramatization. You can act things out. You know, you can, anything can be played out. When I did my doctorate, it was in 1992, when the AIDS epidemic. So I had everybody, I created a mask of death based on Poe's Mask of the Red Death. And I made it with this porcelain mask that I put wax over and painted it red. And it gave me this echoing when I interacted with people, and it sounded like death. And I had these people interact with it. It was very powerful. I tell you, I thought they were, you know, they weren't actors, but they were acting when they, you know, emoting when they were interacting, like, how, you know, F you, I hate you, you know, how dare you, go away, why did you come, what are you doing here, you know, all these things were expressed. Something like that could even be played out. If any professionals or therapists are listening, you know, make a mask of the monster, make a mask of the terrorist, you know, and have people interact with it and say how they really feel, you know, or
well,
maybe,
you
know.
I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah.
Because, yeah,
I mean,
there's
so many
people involved. We have our LGBT community that's affected, our allies. Of course, the doctors did, like you were talking about, doctors did 50 surgeries in a 36-hour period.
Oh, my God.
After that, on all the survivors of there.
They're the ones
amazing.
That are going to need therapy now. They're the ones that are going to need some form
of
decompression. Some, it's called stress reduction therapy. And I, you know, played music. They gave themselves back massages. You know, they turned to the person next to them, gave them back massages, played music, went to a visualized state of peace, looking at a peaceful place, breathing deep, doing some yoga breathing, stretching, all those things, that ways of decompressing after. Then afterwards, drink some apple juice or some, you know, water or tea and talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Things that they can do after they have expressed these feelings. These deeply withheld feelings of sorrow or pain or rage, because, you know, they got to keep it together. They can't lose it. You know, they've got these bloody people coming in, and they've got to deal with it. I've seen it. I worked in they had us do rounds when I was working at Lenox Hill Hospital, and I got to see the ER and some of those people were in my groups, so.
Right,
but,
and you hear the stories. You have all the police officers that actually have
those
into
men
that
too.
Club,
yeah,
and, not, and they're listening to these cell phones going off over from loved ones trying to get a hold of these people. I don't know how you could ever hear a cell phone ring again without just bringing that right back to the surface without going through some kind of therapy.
Yeah, Scott, those police officers do get therapy. They do. I mean, if they got to ask for it, though. You know, they can't force it on them. But they may. I don't know. But after something like that, I know that a lot of the Newtown police officers really were strongly, because they took those babies out of there. And, they needed therapy. And I'm sure the people, the police officers who went into that nightclub, that one gentleman who went in, that police officer, he said, "All right, everybody, get up. And nobody got up because they were dead. You can go now. Yeah, I mean, you know, that was wrong. I thought they didn't do anything for 3 hours. No, the cops went right in there. And they were able to rescue people, but the guy barricaded himself in the bathroom, and they were afraid to, you know, they couldn't go in because they would have been, you know, he had the Uzi. So that's how they broke down the wall, apparently, and that's how people got out, and he went out. Enough of that, but that's what.
Well, thank you for your advice, and
we'll get
out of the sad stuff and go to the happy stuff here, because I just really want to talk about how this came about. I want to talk about the radio show. I want to talk about the book and
Thank
the documentary.
You.
Let's wait just a couple of seconds. We're going to play the actual Indiegogo videotape. You can't be able to see it, but you're going to hear these fantastic people that are classmates and other things. We're going to listen to that, and we'll talk about it on the other side here. So you're listening to Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio with Dr. Vince Pellegrino and his new documentary, Talk It Out, No More Gay Shame. This is one of the clips from that documentary.
Coming from a family that's both African American and Hispanic, my coming out story was very unique, but it was also very challenging.
I don't experience sexual attraction unless a romantic connection has been established. It can be tough for other gay men to accept.
I was afraid of who I was.
The expectation for a lot of trans people is that they have to be straight.
There wasn't a lot of conversation going on about LGBT life, especially in my family.
It's hard for me to feel very valid.
I often feel isolated.
Being a member of the trans community, I want to be able to continue my transition.
After a while, I started to realize that this is who I am.
There's a lot of shame surrounding gayness.
And that's why I think it's important to know
what were some of your childhood experiences like growing up gay, knowing that you were different from other men?
What are some experiences that you've had with this type of communication?
What do you hope will change in the LGBT?
How have the challenges in your life affected you?
Do you have any significant
what have you done to try and bring more pride into your life?
What made your coming out stories challenging?
What are your plans for your future?
Talk it out.
Talk about it.
No more gay shame.
Hello, and welcome to Talk It Out, No More Gay Shame. I'm Dr. Vince Pellegrino, professor of rhetoric here at Hofstra University, and host of my own radio show dedicated to the LGBTQ community and their friends. In my research, I have found that gay shame has created significant effects upon our community. But shame in itself crosses many races, religions, and cultures worldwide. This film is focusing on gay shame and bullying. And your donations will help to spread the word and, as a result, an increase of pride. This is Dr. Vince Pellegrino. Thank you.
And we are back. And that was a clip from the Indiegogo campaign for the new documentary, Talk It Out, No More Gay Shame. Kevin and I are here with Dr. Vince Pellegrino. Dr. Vince, tell us, you've been doing this radio show. You're a professor at Hofstra University. Did the radio show kind of start this whole thing rolling? Was that lead into the book, or was the book a separate deal?
No, I've been working with the book, and back in 98 I started with it. I went living in Connecticut, and I was a New Yorker in Connecticut. And, you know, I had that New York energy. New York, Connecticut, there's a different energy, a little bit more reserved. And when I went to parties, I saw a lot of, like, snipping, like a little, you know, I think a little ladies from Music Man. La, 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 la. You know, they talk about people. They weren't really being very, friendly or open. And they were like, what's all this game, this little clicky behavior? I mean, I saw it in New York, but I really saw this in Connecticut and the Hamptons. When I went to the Hamptons and sometimes in the Pines, where this bitchiness, this is what I talk about in the book, this gay elitism, I have to be better than you, I only am attracted to men like me, I'm beautiful, you're ugly, and you don't exist, you know, if you're not what I'm looking for, you know, I look right past you. It's like a girl in a, the analogy was a pretty girl in a bar. And a guy would go up to her and say, hey, you want to dance? And she'd look at him like he's a bug. And I would look at him like, hey, I'll dance with you. You know, these good-looking guys. And they're turning them down. I say, what's wrong with these girls? You know, I couldn't believe it. That's what, you know. But I saw this, and I was inspired to write the book. And I started asking friends. And, you know, I came up with these questions. And as I was doing, you know, my doctorate, I had the PhD. You know, and I'd done a lot of research for that. And so I just started, interviewing people, and they were very – I got, like, this great, gorgeous couple. Unfortunately, Tim and Bob, God bless him, Bob, you know, he died. He was a police officer. He was a – fortunately, drugs killed him, and that was shame. Tim, we don't know where he is. But other people that were in the book, David Pevsner, Brian Kent – I don't know if you're familiar with Brad Carpenter and his partner Chris Arruda. You know, Brad is a producer of 30 Rock and Boardwalk Empire. I got Rob Ardonez.
Yeah.
I got even the sweet genius from it's Ron Ben Israel. He is now he's a judge on the Food Network, the Cake Wars or something like that. You'll see him. He's from Israel. He was on my show, but they were all in my book, and got these trainers from the David Barton Gym. And my best friend, Wayne Scherzer, who's also my manager. And I told my story, and they told their stories. And it was beautiful. And I did a lot of research on this and talking about the shame and where does it come from. And, you know, basically the shame comes from people telling you that you're not good enough, that you are not worthy, you know, that you feel that you are less than. It's the shame. Guilt is feeling guilty over your actions. Shame is for who you are. And that drive, even talking about it, makes me mad because, God's sake, God put us on this planet, all unique, loving individuals, but something gets turned in our world. And children are taught to hate. You like that Coca-Cola commercial. You know, you have to be taught to, you know, to hate, really, to be cruel.
Right.
Those messages over and over again. That's why, you know, but even John Lennon, who was all about peace, give peace a chance, imagine a world, he was shot down. You know, we live in a world that still is so tortured, you know, that it attacks itself. It doesn't let itself be. I have a brother-in-law. All he does is attack people. All he does. That's it. Even his wife, my beautiful sister, and I cannot stand this man. I can't.
Yeah.
But I have to be nice to him because he's my brother-in-law. But yet he is one of those people who's inside. There's something inside that's rotten, and it just comes out and it spits out, you know, at other people. And unfortunately, we got so many people who are so angry, either because life isn't going the way they wanted it to, or they didn't make it. I know money is an issue. I know money is the root. They can say money is the root of all evil. Yes, my brother-in-law is all about money, and he'll get money in any way he can. You know, and anybody who doesn't make money is less than. And he don't even tell them so. And he never passed high school. Meanwhile, my brother and I both are doctors. And, you know, and it's just sad that the family, you know, he has no connection with anybody in his family. He's pushed everyone away. But he doesn't get it because he doesn't care because he's making money, you know. And now we have a president, presidential candidate who treats people terribly. He spits at people with his words. He attacks people. Mm-hmm. And I cannot believe the people who follow him. Why are you following him? But what, you think he's going to make things better? You know, I thought we had a beautiful president, and we still have him. And yet, you know, people hate him. I mean, on my Facebook, I could not believe this, guys. I could not. These are my Facebook friends. I don't know, you know, I guess these are my high school classmates who said that Obama and Hillary should have been in the club.
Yeah. Wow. Here's
what
a crazy thing. Can I just – no, go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry. Go, Dr. Vince. Go.
No, I'm just saying, what is this world we live in, you know, that, you know, people are just not allowing themselves to love one another. It's so easy to hate. You know, the anger is easier to express than sadness. Like there's something vulnerable about saying I'm sad or men crying, you know. So, but I can get anger. I can tell you to F yourself. I'm going to kick you or you know what, you know. That's easier for them to do than to really say who they really are. I don't believe that people are meant to be evil. I don't believe people are meant to be hateful. I think they're taught that that's the easier way to be.
Well,
you know, they don't allow themselves to be that, and that makes me sad. You know, I'll allow myself to be sad. I'll allow myself to love. I mean, I don't want to hit anyone, but I have it in me, but I won't. You know, I don't want to go there. You know, I just don't want to see that in myself. I know we all have it within ourselves, but to attack other people for who they are and make them feel bad about who they are, that's despicable to do that.
Yeah.
They feel bad enough about themselves. You know, you don't need to add on to it.
I don't know if it's a question, and I think you just said it so well, but there's part of the slippage I see with the clients I work with the organizations that I get to help now through Healing Stigma, and it's not everyone's unique, but the thing I see is that when stigma is applied, the slippage between a stigma that is a narrow label that isn't a person. And so the slippage between the identity that oftentimes by the time I get to it as hopefully as early as possible for the person that is stigmatized, you know, the identity that needs to be reformed needs to be healed. Not here's, you know, I said this before, Scott's heard this, but not in an American way. Here, take a pill and it's going to be like it never happened.
No,
these are scars. I mean, but one of the things in the LGBT community, and I just also want to say two things. It's not an ad, but afterwards, Dr. Vince, I want to give you a copy of my poetry book that was just finalist in Lammies, because that's how I express myself instead of rage.
I love it.
When what happened to myself and my wife, we're coming up on the 5-year mark. You know, and so I'd love you to have that for what you do in a way of communicating. And when you get to Boston, remember, I don't know if you know this, I'm a bisexual leader on the Bisexual Resource Center. We're the nation's first bisexual specific organization. And so in terms of the film, and if you want to do something specifically in talking about also how, you know, naturally in reducing gay shame, we also look, I think it's amazing what you're talking about, but it also sounds like there's a certain amount of erasure from these stories in the Hamptons. So So when bi erasure occurs, and I say sometimes I feel like the canary in the coal mine for when, you know, something happens and a person is being literally in front of me erased, and that's so horrible to one's identity, I get it, that the rage that results is that slippage between the label and the identity that is being crushed. And so, but in the work that I do, I find oftentimes, and yes, I'm not, if a person needs a professional therapist, I want them to see that, and I encourage them to do so and help them to find one if they need to. But the thing for me is the rage I see reduced every day is what gets me out of bed. And that's what I said before to Scott. This is why I think all of us are attacking it, and I don't mean to use the word attack, but doing what we can in our anger to reduce this horribleness and not let it go without changing the world. And those that are changing the world is the reason why, you know, Healing Stigma Radio exists. So I think this is, you know, just that little snippet got me so, so passionate about what you're doing with the documentary, because let's face it, the films, the content that we put out there is so important right now. The access to it is so immediate. The internet can be good, it can be bad. It depends on what you're accessing. And so good honor for you putting it out there. I'm so thrilled.
Oh, bless you. And you too, my God. And I know the stigma that the bisexual community gets. A lot of the gay men always, and I'm sure Scott can jump in on this, you know, oh, yeah, you're bi. Yeah, you're just playing it safe. You want to have both, you know, but you really want to, you know. You really want a guy. You know, we are full of, you know, right. You know, this is what we play because we don't want to look at that ourselves. I was engaged. I, you know, I was aroused by my fiance and other women. I do prefer men. That's just what I is. I know who I am. I just made it clear for me that I'm gay. I don't want my mother's hopes raised up and to plan another wedding, you know, and all that other stuff. I know who I am, and it sounds like you know who you are, and there are people like you who need to hear your message so they don't feel that shame, or they don't decide to, you know, oh, look at that bridge over there, I think I'm going to jump off of it, or there's a gun, you know, pills, you know. And
according to research, the largest amount of the community that is still closeted are bisexual men. And we know this because of, again, shame, stigma, the anticipation. You know, I know it from my own relationship with my wife, who is, again, a bisexual in a married relationship. But
well,
we see it all
the
time.
My fiance was supposed to be bisexual, but then when we were in the relationship, she said, no, I'm not. I'm straight. I don't know why you heard that. I wouldn't have pursued her unless I knew, you know, someone told me she was bi, her sister. And apparently she decided to go back and pause it.
I laugh in some ways. I don't mean to make light of it, but since we're getting onto the positive side of this, I was in Europe for a lot of I'm an American, but I'm from Irish descent, so you'll see it. That's why I say I'm Boston Irish more than anything else.
From Ireland.
But there you go, the old sod. But for me, for a while, I just thought I was European. I didn't realize I was bisexual until I came back, was outed on the evening news, and then I found, and now I'm serious, but I found the horrible statistics in the bisexual community, what happens, homelessness, and, you know, and of course it happens across the whole rainbow, you know, the violence to transgender, especially transgender youth, is horrible.
Rate.
So that's why
we
feel it. And we come from our own perspective, and we make that change. And I mean, you know, Scott was brilliant for getting you on here. And like I said, for making the time, the excitement
he's
to get our listeners in. Oh, I'm blessed. But seriously, to get it in before the film comes out, I think it is. So this is a really exciting time. It really is. It's going. These stories were made at a cost, at a time when it wasn't certain that this whole tide was going to change in the way that it has. And that's amazing in this project. It's been a long time for you doing it. I'm
you'll
proud.
Be hearing the stories of all the men in this who answered the questions of the students. You know, relating to them as bisexual, because one of the girls in the movie is bisexual, and the other two other girls are trans, you know, who want to be boys. And, you know, we're interacting with this, but for us it's new, too. But, you know, we definitely should talk about the shame and the violence. Again, guys, I don't think I mentioned this to Scott, but I wanted to write to the Huffington Post as a survivor, but I didn't feel like my experience was what these people went through with the guns. I mean, someone tried to push a group of guys tried to push me off a cliff in Los Angeles. I was at the beach with my boyfriend, and he saved my life.
Oh, wow.
They were trying to push
me
off the cliff. Yeah. And so, you know, I got punched in the face and blood all over. And, you know, these three guys broke a bottle. The eight guys broke a bottle and saved me because, you know, we ran down the stairs, and they were there, and they confronted this gang of kids. All white surfer types, you know, who were closeted. Two of them I knew because in the middle of the fight, we talked. And they and I said, guys, I've been with girls. Oh yeah, man, really? You know, this is the bullshit that we deal with. Excuse my language, but this is not. This is what we deal with. These messages that these people feel that they, you know, it's easier to get the gun or use my fist or get a weapon and beat the person that I'm attracted to, you know, rather than to kiss them in the mouth or make love.
Right.
To them.
Talk a little bit more. The documentary is based on the book, and it's based on six questions primarily. Talk a little bit about the questions and talk about, you got some great names in the documentary as well. Ari Gold, very famous.
Yes, Ari is in the movie. Ari,
talk about
and he's
the
providing the music.
And who all was in the video?
J.C. Alvarez. J.C. Alvarez was a worked for the HBO. He Edge Magazine. He was an entertainment columnist. I think he's reinventing himself right now. He had the host of this Queens Public Television show called Talking About for the gay community. I've been on that show several times as a guest. And then also I've got Eric Alon, who's an up-and-coming artist. He's a great dancer. He's a erotic dancer. He's a very sexy guy, but he's got a beautiful voice, and he's in the movie. And these guys, they're like, I've featured parts with them solo on camera where they talk about stories that break my heart. Eric talked about being beaten by his father at 2 years old because he dressed up in his mother's clothes and was dancing in the bedroom. And his father beat him in front of the mother, and she did nothing. And he didn't realize that until we were talking. He didn't realize the fact that the mother was in the room and did nothing, which, of course, as a therapist, is a big boom, boom, boom. And then the Ari, God bless him, he talked about when he was 3 years old, he all of a sudden his best friend stopped playing with him, and he couldn't understand it. And it wasn't until years later that his mother told him that the mother came to her and said, I don't want my son playing with your son. He's too effeminate. So at 3 years old, his best friend was taken away from him because he was too effeminate. You know, and she felt it would rub off, you know, just as AIDS would rub off by kissing or touching back in the night. You know, the things, the ignorance is bliss. Again, I could quote sayings all night long, and they're all true. The slogans, the sayings, you know, they're all based on reality. And, people just don't get the messages. They just don't, or they refuse to. Again, going back to these bills not being passed, I could not believe it I was hearing before they were defeated that they had no chance to be passed. I said, wait a minute. Are you saying that as a terrorist, I can go in, I can go buy a gun, and I can just shoot up anywhere and, you know, I can just buy a gun? It's okay, you know. Have you ever found out? Well, because I was off the no-fly zone. What is this? There's no record. I mean, I couldn't understand. And this was a police officer, an ex-police officer who owned the gun shop that sold this son of a bitch, you know, the gun. I just don't get it. That's what I wanted to write in the Huffington Post. I don't get it, and I don't get it how someone who is a terrorist and is, you know, he's had a history of anti-American feelings. When 9/11 happened, apparently they said in high school, he was like jumped up and down. I'm surprised he wasn't beaten.
Right.
Probably he was. But you know what I'm saying? But you know,
I'm surprised Trump didn't interview him. I'm surprised Trump say he was there with all the people that were celebrating and they couldn't find him. I'm surprised Trump didn't find this guy earlier and have him actually. Remember they were asking Trump,
he made some kind of outlandish
remark.
Yeah, he did it in his dreams and all that.
I mean,
he
I'm sorry to infuse.
Life,
I don't mean
know?
To make light of it, but every day he says something more outlandish, you know what I'm saying? So here we have someone who's identified, clearly, you're right, clearly identified, and for some reason falling through those cracks. I mean, I said it before, he also was turned in, by the way, by another gun owner 3 weeks before the shooting, when a gun store owner refused to sell him a massive amount of ammunition and body armor because the guy was acting suspicious, and he turned it into law enforcement.
Kim, you know, this is not news.
You know, and I'm not complaining. I'm saying this is why we have to start all the way from wherever you are, whatever corner it is. Get in touch with your congressman, get in touch with your rep, and start using that vote. Register and listen to shows like the one that you do, like the one that we're doing. Get informed and literally start changing the world. Because from Sandy Hook to Orlando.
I want to have a good time. I don't want to talk about this stuff. This stuff only brings me down. Don't be such a downer.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Let's do some drugs. Let's go some party and let's dance all night. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
You're right.
Sorry.
Yep.
You know, that's
yep.
what you're going to get in response. Oh, no. Where's the party? Where's the party? You know, people are, you know,
yeah.
There was a whole thing that's called About Shame. It's a reaction to the gay pride parade. It's like, you know, too much about the party and not about what pride is about. People in our own community, they don't want to focus on it. They don't. I mean, this is great that we're doing this, and that maybe, you know, when there's a groundswell, people will pay attention. I just, you know, I just don't know, guys. I don't want to sound hopeless, but, you know, that's why I'm going to keep the dialogue going, and that's what you're doing is great. But, like, our own
right.
groups, our own gay LGBT community does not want to deal with this. They don't want to deal with AIDS. They're not going to want to deal with, you know, this. You know, it's like, you know, they're going to be ever vigilant now when they go into a club. They're going to watch their back for a while. But, you know, they want to continue to party. You know,
that's why I think documentaries like yours are so important. I mean, history is
yes.
so important to our community. We tend to forget
yep.
it like everyone else does in history. And that's why I think it's really important to get this out here. And that's one of the reasons we're doing the Indiegogo campaign as well. And I want everyone
yes.
to be sure to go to this. It's real. Indiegogo has the longest URLs in history. But if you just go to Indiegogo.com and look up Talk It Out, you'll be able to find it right away. There's about nine days left for it. The goal is just
yeah.
$5,000, so I think you're being very reasonable. But this is going to really help finish the editing and get it out there to
everybody wants to be paid.
And getting it out to people who really need to see this film, correct?
Yes. Yes, I mean, you know, to show it anyway, there's fees that are included and also promotion. I would like to get, you know, social media. There's, I believe it's called Queer Media. They have a way of putting the word out as well. You know, doing shows like this definitely help. You know, I'm a one-man team here sometimes, it feels like. But, you know, it's okay for now, but I do need help. And
yeah,
I need help.
I hope all of our listeners will go check it out. Like I said, it's a great – you'll be able to get to see the faces to go with the voices of that clip we played a little
yep.
bit ago. And you just
yes.
see these wonderful people talking about their lives. So just go to Indiegogo.com and look under Talk It Out. You'll find it right away. So you can $15 will help. You can get copies of the book, get T-shirts. So I hope all of our listeners
yep, $30 for a T-shirt.
You're going to have the world premiere actually at Hofstra in July next month,
on the 15th
right?
of July at 6 p.m. from 6 to 9. They're going to, as they say, we're going to have a reception followed by the screening and then the discussion afterwards. And this is my game plan for doing this all over the country. You know, I'd love to be able to do this, to spread the message, to be an advocate for, against
yeah.
gay shame and for gay pride. Because, again, what I say in the movie, that the opposite of shame is pride. You know, shame, you know, loving oneself, feeling empowered, being, you know,
yep.
and that empowerment other people will see that too. When you're feeling good about yourself, it communicates. It's you know, a smile, it goes a long, long way, you know, rather than a grimace.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
one of the guys
yep.
in my book talked about that, you know, in the game in bars, the guys would, you know, good-looking guys would walk around scowling, you know, because they thought that was hot, and then wonder why nobody approaches them during the whole night, because they're scowling. They don't look approachable. So smile, you know, love,
yeah.
you know, don't want to hit, kiss, you know,
yeah.
embrace, talk it out, talk to people, you know, I don't care if it's with a cocktail, I don't care, you know, when you're at the park with your dog, you know, find a way to, and when you go to Pride, you know, these Pride festivals, no matter when, every city, reach out, hug a brother, tell some your sister. Tell someone, you know, what's beautiful about them. I always envision, since this thing has happened, that if I got the Oscar, you know what I would do? I would thank everybody, and then I would say, everybody there sitting and at home, I want you to turn to the person next to you and say what is beautiful about them. It could be physical
beautiful.
Or it could be emotional. What about them is beautiful? Rather than say what you don't like about them, what is it you like about them or love about
yeah.
them? And do that at home.
Terrific.
And if you're home alone, go into a mirror and say that to yourself. Because we need those messages. We need the lovely, positive, embracing, you know,
yeah.
spiritual messages that God is love. You know, And you
fantastic.
Know, a man with a gun is evil. You know, they're the devil's
yeah.
the devil's disciple, as far as I'm concerned. If you're a believer in God and spirituality, love and embracing, and you know, that is God. You know, that is beautiful. You know, and telling somebody what they're beautiful about them. You know, I remember I was on a line. I think I may have mentioned this in an earlier show, another show that we had, but that I was on a line at Great Adventure with a friend who was a bit of a bitter queen, and he turned to me and goes, "Oh, look at all the ugly people online." And I said, "You know what, Jimmy? Look around, and you can see, you know, just look around these people again and see something beautiful in them. It'd be their hair, their eyes, their smile."
Yeah.
You know, and he goes, "Wow, you're right. You know,
yeah.
I do see that." And I said,
yeah.
"Good. There's hope for you yet."
There's hope.
You know?
Yeah.
There
you go. Dr. Vince.
Yeah.
Hey, Dr.
Tell
Vince.
A joke. Tell a joke. Be funny. You know, I mean, be like Ellen. Go around telling joke and dancing. Dance. You know, have fun.
Yeah.
And I could say this to myself, so as I get down too, you know, sometimes, you know, I mean, I'm trying to get more work. You know, I'm trying to work in different facilities, either educational or academic. But I always get, I'm overqualified, or I'm going to be 65 this year. I'm too old, but they can't say that. But they can say, "Why are you interested in this position? Why aren't you wanting to do this?" Well, because I need a job. You know, it's like, I, in the summertime I don't work. You know, and bills have to be paid. But you know, I'm saying I it just drives me crazy. The frustrations in this world. You just got to still have a positive spirit, even when you're being challenged. That's what I'm saying.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Well, Kevin,
absolutely.
I'll give you the final word, and then we got to wrap this up. Go ahead, Kev.
No, I was just going to say the other side to it and what you're contributing is so important. I'm not to go on about the bisexual angle in this, but I'm so pleased when people include the whole LGBT. But our seated president right now is the first president to use the word bisexual. And that's what's gotten me invited to the White House twice as a bisexual leader to listen to how we're going to help that community deal with homelessness, violence, abuse, and use the word, actually say the word. So the thing I just want to note here is it's so wonderful, and I want you to get more work. And I'll tell you this right now. You ever need a bisexual speaker on one of your panels, look me up. Because of what I do with Healing Stigma and what you're doing, rounding out a good panel will sell plenty of tickets and make sure that, you know, people hear a very good portion of what makes people better in our community. I'd always be happy to help you with that.
I'd be more than happy to come to
right.
your panel if you're ever speaking anywhere.
Sure.
That's what I want to do in life. That's what I've envisioned my life to be.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've been an actor, so that was always my focus.
But the thing I just wanted to finish off on that just quickly is sometimes getting just that one word and getting that change takes a long time. And so don't give up, because our work combined, the whole LGBTQIA and those that are interested in helping other communities because of this, you know, it was Elton John that just said stigma is what is the thing that is holding back marginalized communities around the world in so many different settings. And so when we do the work like you're doing, and it's, how should I say, out there on social media, let's look at it. So watch a documentary like this instead of maybe binge-watching something that's only going to get you to be more sarcastic the next day when you might not need that, you know?
Yeah.
So I just think it's wonderful, and my side to it is make sure that we co-promote it. We'll co-promote it and get lots of watchers for it.
I wish I could hug you both right now. So thank you so much.
Don't worry.
For your wonderful encouragement and support.
We appreciate having you on, Dr. Vince Pellegrino, and we're so excited. The documentary, one more time, Talk It Out, No More Gay Shame.
Yep.
Look for it on Indiegogo.com under Talk It Out. There'll be a premiere for it in July. Also, you can look
the
at
books
the
books are on sale.
Go to Amazon and, of course, Amazon. Look for the
Amazon.com,
book.
Talk It Out, No More Gay
and
Shame.
You had an interesting life yourself, too, with your acting and everything else. Give everyone your website address so they can read a little more about you and where they can follow you on social media.
Well, again, it's Dr. Vince TV, DrVinceTV is the website, and you can check it out. You can see a little bit of my background. I'm interviewing people like Robin Bird and Jake Deckard and all these other people, and also I've also written another book on road rage called You Drive Me Crazy. Also, again, I'm on Facebook, Vince Pellegrino, and on Twitter, Dr. Vince TV. And again, on YouTube, check out my videos. And I write for the Huffington Post, Queer Voices. So I've read several articles with them. So
do I. I love doing that.
Well, I look forward to meeting you. I mean, you both.
Absolutely.
I want to meet you guys, you know, rather than talking. You know,
it sounds
like
you got it.
We'd have
you
a great time.
You promised me on my entertainment show I could go to Fire Island this summer, so I'm going to hold you up to that.
Yeah, come on up. Let's go. I love Fire Island. You know, just for those who don't, if they might spark a memory, I had done one of the first gay reality TV shows. It was on Bravo. It still aired. Apparently, it was called Fire Island. I owned a house, and I rented a house. I was the house mother for several years, and it was on Bravo. It's about the hijinks that go on in a house and the drama that goes on even in Fire Island. So, and it was
You can't go without telling our audience. So I hope, if you don't mind me saying this, because I do my research all the way back, you were in an amazing film. I love classic films. I'm just a film buff in so many crazy ways. So could you tell folks the film that you are in? I find this amazing. Could I just say that?
Dog Day Afternoon?
Yeah.
I'm not going to take it anymore. That was Network. Dog Day Afternoon, I'd say, Sonny, give us the money. You know, and I called and on both 9.5 weeks, I was in that with Mickey Rourke and Kim Basinger. And Dog Day Afternoon, I said my line were, "Hey faggot, can you believe it?" Right? Isn't that ironic? Those are my lines. Hey faggot.
I mean,
you know?
That movie that in that day that it was made and how it was made. I am, and the fact that it was based on a true story. You see, I'm also I'm a writer, and like I said, I'll get you my debut book of poetry that was published by the Connecticut Poet Laureate.
I can't wait for your poetry.
So we're
I love a man
also
said to be poetry. So.
Yeah, I'm going to. I'm saying here is you're in a piece of history there, because I love how and what happened and why that film nowadays probably wouldn't be made. You know what I'm saying? Unless in a very different way and through probably some kind of editing process. That film was very brave for when it came out. And
well,
all
I'll
I'm saying
you
is you're in a piece
of
history.
I was Sidney Lumet. Sidney Lumet was my director, and he would say, "Vince, Young Love, start the street action." And I would be the one to start the action. So he would call me. You know, I did all these people
brilliant.
Screaming. I was the one who got them started. You know, I was the cue. Was me.
Yeah,
hey, Vince. Go, Vince.
You were the mayhem fluffer. You were the mayhem fluffer.
And you'll never believe one of the guys in my gang ended up being in Welcome Back, Kotter. He played Epstein.
Epstein, of course.
But yeah, the one with
the
afro, not the creaky, not the weird guy who ended up going into drugs. But so it was quite a fun. I worked on that for months. Saturday Night Fever.
I'll get you that hug soon, man.
Yeah.
You're amazing. I'll get
Thank
you that
you.
Hug
so
soon.
Are you.
We'll meet
Looking
soon.
Forward to meeting you all. And Ken, Scott, it was a pleasure. Kevin or Ken? I mean, I couldn't.
Kevin. Kevin. Yep.
Kevin. Yeah.
I've been called worse, but you can call me Kevin anytime.
Kevin.
There you go.
All right, Dr. Vince. Thank you so much for being part of the show.
Thanks, Scott.
Stay on the line for 1 second, and we're going to go ahead and go to another quick break here and play another song from Jay Knight. This is Living for the Memories. You're listening to Healing Stigma, Left to Straight Radio. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Single second that will stand the test of time.
Waiting for a moment that's already passed you by. Don't you want to know what you've been missing? What you've been missing?
Single second that will stand the test of time.
Waiting for a moment that's already passed you by. Don't you wanna know what you
hope, no need for sorrow, no need to feel the pain we do. No need for angels, demons, or fables, praying to gods that don't come through.
Dream as if you live forever. Live as if you die today. I don't even know anything is even real.
And that was Jay Knight with Living for the Memories. We're back on Healing Stigma Left to Straight Radio. Kevin, another great guest, another great show.
Yes, and isn't it great to have Jay Knight at the end? He just gets me tapping my toes. That was a spirited discussion we had tonight with a spirited human being. That was wonderful.
Well, I knew we were going to be talking about the Orlando stuff a bit. I wanted to have some upbeat music in between. So I think Jay Knight's always good there. He does such good work for the community, and he does that sound. And like I said, just kind of makes you tap your feet and then sing along.
Well, you know, and it's great because we have, again, a musician who's fighting bullying and a guest tonight who, by reducing gay shame, is helping people express who they are. It's a great pairing.
Right.
Healing Stigma Radio. There you go. 100% approved.
Great shows coming up next week. We're going to have Tara Radcliffe. If you don't know of her, she was on the Bravo TV show Newlyweds the first year. Her and her husband were one of four couples that were featured, and she came out as bisexual on the show and got a lot of grief for it on social media and a lot of everything else. So she was kind of stigmatized for that herself, something I'm sure you can relate to. So she's going to
be
a great guest
interesting
next week. And then
great.
Here we have
I'm looking forward to it.
Now?
Isn't it the Groovalottos? Or is that the rumor?
That's right.
Did I speak?
The Groovalottos in 2 weeks. We played their music just a couple weeks ago. They have a fascinating story to talk about. It's always going to be a great show on the summer here, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I know. It's just, you know, to say that it's heating up sounds like a used car ad, but it is amazing the other talent that people would be getting in contact. Let's face it, every single day with people trying to make a change. What I can say right now is for those that are, it sounds like an ad again, but just go and take a look at the new Healing Stigma website. You know, take a listen on Saturday night to the, you know, podcast awards. It's really exciting to be involved in this. I see no signs of it slowing down, and that's the energy. That's the good energy to make the world a better place.
Exciting stuff. And I have breaking news, as a matter of fact. And I can't confirm it, but I have breaking news right now while we're doing the show. I got an email that our Android app has been approved and available on the Google Play Store.
Wow. That's amazing. Our tech team is amazing. Our social media team is amazing. This is really cool. Love it.
It is. I don't have an Android anymore to check it, so I hope our listeners will check it out for us. We are now available on both on iPhones. You can go to your App Store, your iPhone, and you go now to your App Store, to the Google Play on your Android. Type in Left of Straight Radio, and you're going to find our app. It'll have all of our shows. It'll have all of my Left of Straight entertainment shows, every single Healing Stigma show, everything we do on here.
Hey. Did you just have it? By the way, will it have it? Didn't you just come out with a new show? Can I, again, be my interrupting self here and ask?
Well, I did. Thank you for that. Yeah, we had a new show starting on Wednesdays. I kind of had it floating around in my head for a while back. A couple of weeks I've been thinking about it.
I think it's brilliant. You always are. You're always looking at what our community needs in some of the most amazing ways, and I just love being on the show with you, and I love what you're doing. You're really producing some great content, Scott. Keep it up. Love doing it.
Well, thank you. Back at you. I'm so proud of everything we're doing here. I hope you'll follow us always. Go to healingstigmaradio.com. That's www.healingstigmaradio.com. You can listen to all of our great guests from starting back in February till now. available also on our apps now. We have the Twitter page, which is Heal Stigma Radio, at Heal Stigma Radio with the Heal Stigma hashtag. Always some great information on there. Now we're doing the Facebook page. You can like us on Facebook. We got the social media team that's just gangbusters. Google Plus, we're kind of getting everywhere. We're a big deal all the time.
Yeah, it's growing. It's really growing. It really is. It really is. And rightly so, because more and more people that get involved in the conversation, that's how we're going to make a change. We're not doing this just to, you know, hide our light under a basket. This is good info, and we want it out there.
Exactly. And it's all based coming from a great place, coming from your organization that you started that I'm so proud of, Healing Stigma. And I really want to support that in every way that I can by getting the message out over the radio
you
here.
Do,
so we thank everybody for tuning in. We hope you'll see us again next Thursday, same time, 2 p.m. Pacific time, 5 p.m. Eastern time. And you guys all have a great night. Kevin, it's been great talking with you.
I can't wait till next week. You have a safe week. Keep doing your great work. And thanks to all our listeners.
You too. Okay, everybody, we're out of here. We'll see you next Thursday. Good night.